participants. I think we're ready to go.
Okay, good morning, everybody, and thank you again for inviting me to share a little bit of Torah this morning. And we'll do the same thing we've done in all of our past Friday morning shiurim, which is I'll share with you two questions that have been asked recently, and you'll tell me which one you'd like to speak about, and we'll talk about that question. I might shift the timing from 30 and 10 to maybe 25 and 15 as far as the breakdown between halacha and parsha, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. So anyway, the two questions are as follows. Question number one. A fellow reached out to me that he's approaching his fifth wedding anniversary. He and his wife are approaching their fifth wedding anniversary, and he was struggling with what sort of gift to buy his wife, and someone told him, no problem, it's easy. The fifth wedding anniversary, you can Google it, is the wooden anniversary. So you should buy her something made out of wood. And he thought to himself, while he doesn't know if his wife really needs a shtender or whatever else would be made out of wood, but he thought to himself, is this a violation of Chukas Hagayim, to follow the protocols that you can find online, you know, to buy a paper for the first wedding anniversary? That's a skula not to make it to the second wedding anniversary, by the way, if you buy paper for the first, but he wasn't sure if this is an appropriate thing to do, or there's a violation of Chukas Hagayim for some reason. The second question someone asked, I got an email from somebody that read as follows. Hi, Rabbi Leibowitz. My daughter has a female dog, and for many years she's requested of me to get her dog spayed. I have until now resisted, though, because of halachic concerns. Every time she goes to the vet, she's warned that the dog will potentially become very ill if she is not spayed soon. We have given her hormone shots, but that is not a long-term solution. I'm very concerned that if something were to happen to the dog because of this issue, it would very much negatively affect my daughter. She is an at-risk 17-year-old and has struggled with different aspects of Yiddishkeit over the years. In addition, her biological father passed away when she was 4 years old and is something she still deals with at times. Please let me know what's the halachic path that we can follow on this issue. Meaning, on the one hand, he knows that there is a halachic issue with having a dog spayed or neutered, and on the other hand, he also realizes that it could really negatively affect his daughter's spiritual development if he doesn't have the dog taken care of. So those are the two questions. So if everyone could just vote in the chat, that would be great. Whether you'd like question number one or question number two to be dealt with. It's a close vote so far. It's getting less close. Okay. Anyone else want to vote? Not everyone has voted. Okay. Oh, okay. A little bit more. All right. Let's wait for one more vote to come in just to see if there's going to be a comeback. All right. So it seems that question number two is the overwhelming favorite at this point. So with apologies to Henry and to Ben, we'll have to deal with that question some other time. Od chazon l'moed, about whether you could buy a wooden wedding gift for the fifth anniversary, or, by the way, silver for the 25th, gold for the 50th, I think diamond for the 60th. So we'll have to deal with that at some different time. I would generally recommend not waiting 60 years to buy a diamond. But anyway, so let's begin with the question about getting the dog neutered or spayed. So there is a real issue over here, because medically, I mean, if you go to a vet, any vet will tell you that excessive reproduction and overpopulation can endanger the animal, the species, the public. It can really have, it's really important that they neuter the pets. Anyone remembers Bob Barker on days that you were sick home from school, reminding you at the beginning of the price, or at the end of the Price is Right, don't forget to neuter and spay your pets. I never understood what that was about when I was a child home from school, but the concern is that animals can also become very aggressive. They can harm you, they can harm themselves, and they can become sick if you don't do this procedure. However, the flip side of that is, the problem with that is that halacha forbids the removal of reproductive organs from animals or humans, male and female. It's an explicit halacha in Shulchan Aruch and Ibn Ezer Simin Hay. So let's maybe get to a little bit of the background of this issue, and then maybe we can deal with some etza for this fellow. There is some discussion in the poskim whether removing reproductive organs or disabling reproductive organs of a female is considered an issur d'oraisa or only an issur d'rabbanan. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about this in Ibn Ezra Chelek Dalid Siman Lamed Dalid. In the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, it seems pretty clear that it's only an issur d'rabbanan when it comes to females. So the fact that he mentioned that it's a female dog is definitely helpful. I remember I was once speaking in a community, not in my community, somewhere else, and I was talking about this isser, and I said, you know, it's very challenging how a from person can become a vet, because a vet doesn't only take care of animals and heal animals, but very often they're called upon to neuter animals, and neutering an animal is a real issue. And a fellow came over to me after the shiur. He said, I'm a vet and I'm a from person, and you should just know that it's mutter to spay female animals. So my partner does all the males and I do all the females. I said, that's news to me. I didn't know that it was mutter to. I thought it says in Shulchan Aruch that it's an issur d'rabbanan. It's not an issur d'oraisa, but it's still an issur d'rabbanan. So I don't think that it's necessarily mutter. Obviously, it's somewhat challenging if a person becomes a veterinarian and then becomes a baal tshuva. So now what are they supposed to do? They trained for this profession, so you have to get eitzah in terms of how to deal with this. I even tell medical students, a lot of times I have talmidim who are medical students, so when you're a medical student and you go on rotations, or you're learning the different elements of medicine. Different, you know, you spend 2 weeks doing one, you know, doing OB, and 2 weeks doing anesthesia, and 2 weeks, you know, you get the full array of medical experience. So when they offer one of the students to do something active, they get very excited about the possibility of doing it. So sometimes they'll offer one of the students to make the snip or whatever it is that will disable the reproductive organs. So medical students have to know to stand down and not to volunteer to do that, because that might very well be an issur d'oraisa. Now the Gemara Masech Sanhedrin Daf Nun Vav and Beis has a machlokas whether the Torah asers non-Jews from doing this, and there is a machlokas Rishonim which way we paskin. The Beis Shmuel says in Evan Ezra and Simon Hay Sivkan Tazayin that it's a machlokas Rishonim, and it's a machlokas Rishonim that's never really been resolved, meaning sometimes you have a machlokas that gets resolved over time, that, you know, sort of the Shulchan Aruch has taken a stance and the Ramah has taken a stance, and therefore even though it was once a day in Rishonim, it's no longer a legitimate shita. And sometimes you have a machlokas Rishonim that stands the test of time, that it continues to be a machlokas throughout the generations. Just yesterday I was asked to do an interview with somebody about using electric shavers. I was the host, I was the interviewer. So I was interviewing this fellow who is very, very strongly opposed to the idea that that people can use electric shavers on their face, that Jews can use electric shavers. So he just kept on quoting me, this Rishon and that Rishon and that Rishon. I said, yeah, so it's a machlokas Rishonim. He said, Safek Daraisa L'chumra. How can you, even if it were a machlokas Rishonim, it's Safek Daraisa L'chumra. That's not really the way halacha works, that every time there's a machlokas Rishonim, you just say Safek Daraisa L'chumra. You have to paskin. So that if Rav Moshe said one way, which he did, and the Chazanish said another way, which he may very well have, so you don't just say Safek Daraisa L'chumra, you have to figure out which way you're going to paskin on a particular issue. Sometimes you have a machlokas that stands the test of time, and it remains a machlokas, and it's totally legitimate to follow either shita, because both shitos are actually legitimate lahalacha. So the Beis Shmuel and Ibn Ezra says, you know, we don't really have a clear resolution of this issue. However, the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Siman Hei and Ibn Ezra that he thinks the rove, the majority shita, is that this issur does not apply to non-Jews, that it only applies to Jews. Now that will make a huge difference for us. Why does that make a huge difference for us? If I ask a non-Jew to perform this act of sirus, I ask a non-Jew to neuter my animal, so what isser am I doing when I ask a non-Jew to neuter the animal? One possibility is, if the non-Jew is not obligated, he has no isser over here, so by me asking a non-Jew to neuter the animal, I am only in violation of Amira La'akum. Anything I'm not allowed to do, I'm not supposed to ask a non-Jew to do. So Amira La'akum is an Issur D'Rabbanan. Certainly in Hilchos Shabbos it's an Issur D'Rabbanan. It may apply in other areas as well, and something to be taken seriously, but with a certain level of leniency, because it's Amira La'akum. However, if the non-Jew is not allowed to do it, and I ask him to do it, I'm not just in violation of Amira La'akum, now I'm in violation of Lifnei Iver. I'm enabling him and causing him to violate an Issur D'Oraisa. So therefore, I'm in violation of an Issur D'Oraisa. So that's a very, very significant difference of opinion in Poskim. I once had the opportunity to speak to Rav Asher Weiss Shlita about this issue in a much more complicated and, frankly, much more entertaining case, actually, but I'm not going to get into the details of that case. And Rav Asher Weiss said that he was under the impression, like the Aruch HaShulchan, that it's Amira La'akum, that it's not that the non-Jews are not obligated in in this, are not included in this Isser. Nafkamina between these two shitos is what if the animal is suffering, the animal is sick, or in this case, like we have over here, the vet says that it's not good for the animal. You're allowed to violate. You're definitely not allowed to violate an Issur D'Oraisa to alleviate an animal's suffering, but probably you can violate an Issur D'Rabbanan in order to, of Amira La'akum in order to alleviate the suffering of an animal. The Shulchan Aruch in Simin Shin Hei in Aruch Chaim says that way in Sifchav that you can ask a non-Jew to do something that's Asur Midaraisa on Shabbos for Tzar Bali Chayim, to prevent an animal from suffering. You're not allowed to do something that's Asur Midaraisa on Shabbos, certainly, but you can ask a non-Jew to do something that's Asur Midaraisa on Shabbos, because it's only Amira La'akum, and Amira La'akum, for the sake of the suffering of an animal, would be permissible. So accordingly, so it would seem that you could ask a non-Jew to remove an animal's reproductive organs to save the animal from suffering, because removing reproductive organs is not as severe as a violation of Shabbos. It's a losase, it's not skila. So it would seem that it's Amira La'akum and a losase, which is better than Amira La'akum on an Isser Shabbos, and if the animal is genuinely suffering, according to that shita, that a guy is not included in this iser, it would be mutter to ask a non-Jew to do this for you, to bring the animal to a non-Jewish vet and have the non-Jewish vet take care of it. However, since we generally try to be choshesh for the shita that non-Jews are included in this iser as well, that is not the practice. The practice is not just to allow a non-Jewish vet to do it. But there are other solutions as well. Meaning, so far, what do we have? We have, it's a machlokas whether non-Jews are included in the iser to begin with. And if they're not included in the iser, we pretty much have solved our problems. If you wait to the point that the animal is going to suffer otherwise, for Tzar Bali Chaim, it seems that it would be mutter to do Amir La'akum. However, since the Beis Shmuel is not so convinced that that's true, he's not so convinced that a non-Jew is not included in the iser, it could be a non-Jew is included in the iser, so we're not satisfied with that approach. And now, for our case, what you're asking the non-Jew to do is an Issur D'Rabbanan, because it's a female animal. So it's an Issur D'Rabbanan, that brings down the level of leniency. So now we already have two snifim lahakel. On the one hand, even for an Issur D'Oraisa, it could be that it's mutter, because it could be, we passing like the Aruch HaShulchan said, that non-Jews aren't included in the prohibition. And even if non-Jews are included in the prohibition, what you're asking him to do is an Issur D'Rabbanan, not an Issur D'Oraisa, and you're allowed to violate the Rabbanans, perhaps, for the sake of Tzar Bali Chaim. Or maybe he's allowed to violate the Rabbanan for the sake of Tzar Bali Chaim, although that's not so clear either. So there are a few solutions. So some poskim said that it was common practice that religious Jews who owned animals, who owned farms, it used to be that most of the early literature you find about religious Jews and animals was not about pets. Pets is more of a new thing. I mean, in COVID, it really took off, but I never noticed so many from families with dogs as I do now. I think people were very lonely in COVID, and they, I once had a situation where there was a couple that that came to me asking for a heter for birth control because their kids were giving them a run for their money. They were having a hard time, so they wanted to know if they can, even though they hadn't fulfilled Pru Revu yet, they wanted to know if they can hold off on having a child. So I listened to them. It seems I was very sensitive to their plight, and they said, you know what, let's hold off for now. You know, it seems makes sense. A couple of weeks later, they came to me and they said, we're in the market to buy a dog. So what do you think? What do we have to do as far as neutering? We know there's some issue, which a lot of potential dog owners don't even know. They don't even know to ask the question. But Baruch Hashem, this couple knew. They said, we're in the market to buy a dog. I'm like, a dog? You're going to take on the responsibility of a dog? Have a child. Why would you buy a dog? Just have a kid. And they did. They listened. Instead of buying a dog, they had another kid. Every time I see that kid running around the neighborhood, I say, you could have been a dog. You know, it was unbelievable. They actually had, and there was a child of the gender that they had not yet had. And they were Mekayim Pru Revu. They were going to buy a dog. Instead, they were Mekayim the Mitzvah Daraisa, the very first Mitzvah Daraisa of Pru Revu. You never know what a suggestion can do. It happens to be a couple of years later when COVID hit, they bought a dog also. Okay, all right, you know, I'll let them have that one. But at least, you know, they were Mekayim the Mitzvah of Pru Revu. But there are a few kulas that are involved, and the post can discuss in that context of owning farm animals, not really in the context of pets. What they would do is they would sell an animal to a non-Jew and ask the non-Jew to ask another non-Jew to neuter or spay the animal. And the reason they would do that is it would be lifnei dilifnei. Instead of being lifnei iver, if non-Jews are included in the iser, so you don't want to do lifnei iver and ask the non-Jew to do it. So this eitzah is suggested by the Shol Meshiv in Ma'adura Tlisa'a Chelek Aleph Simen Reish Chav Tes, and in the Chasam Sofer in Choshe Mishpat Simen Kuf Pei Hei, and in Ha'elef L'Chashlomo and Evna Ezer Simen Chav Gimel. I got all these marmakomos from a wonderful article written by Rabbi Chaim Jachter on the topic of, I think it was written by Rabbi Jachter, I could be mistaken, but I think it's written by Rabbi Jachter on the topic of pets in Halacha. But that was one suggestion, that it would only be Lefnei Dilfnei, and therefore it would also be Amir La'akum, which may only be mutter in such a case. And by transferring title of the animal to the non-Jew, you don't have there is a knas midrabanan that if Shulchan Aruch says in Simen Hei Sif Yudalid that if a person had his animal neutered, there's a knas midrabanan that he has to sell the animal, that he can't keep the animal. So you avoid that knas just in case you are violating anything. You avoid that knas by selling it to a non-Jew and having the non-Jew take care of it. I once had a situation here in the neighborhood with a couple that had purchased a dog, and they had to get the dog neutered. And so I said, what do you need a dog? You're B'nai Torah. What do you have to have? I happen to not like dogs. So I said, what do you need a dog for? So they said, well, our special needs child really connects well with animals, and it's very beneficial for his development to have a dog. Oh, so that's a different story. That's not just stam that you want to have a dog. It happens to be, sadly, they had an intermarriage in their family, and they utilized the non-Jewish person who had connected with their family to sell the dog and transfer title to that dog in order to, and that person brought it to the vet, and I don't think they ever even brought it back. I think it became that person's dog, and he would, you know, this non-Jew would take it with him home for weekends and things like that as well. They really transferred ownership to it and just used the dog as needed when they wanted to. So that is one of the eitzas that poskim have. Rav Shechter, I think, was not so excited about that. Meaning, in a chinami, poskim said this when you owned a farm and you had no choice. But for household pets, just for convenience, you know, it doesn't seem to be a good enough reason. Now, if the dog is going to get sick and you already own the dog and it's your responsibility, so then maybe an echinami would be more makel. I think Rav Shechter and other poskim are not so excited about utilizing this lichadchila to buy a dog, meaning it's also possible to buy a dog that is already neutered. You could buy a pre-neutered dog, and that's certainly the better thing to do. And another solution that's suggested, and then we'll finish up this discussion. Another solution that's suggested is suggested by Rav Unterman. He described a particular procedure of neutering that he thinks knocks it down to an issur d'rabbanan, because it doesn't involve actually removing the reproductive organs, just preventing the blood supply to the testicles, and then to the point that they shrivel, and then the animal becomes sterile on its own. And he says if you do that, it's only ali de grama, which is only an issur d'rabbanan, and would be mutter on a d'oraisa level. So if non-Jews are not allowed to neuter animals, that's only the issur d'oraisa of neutering animals. Non-Jews don't have to follow dinim d'rabbanan, right? When the rabbanan made new dinim, they didn't impose them on non-Jewish people. So whatever's an issur d'oraisa is an issur d'oraisa. So Rav Unterman suggests that you can ask a non-Jew to neuter an animal in this somewhat indirect way. Now it happens to be that in our case, it's a much easier situation. Because as we said, it's a female dog, and because it's a female dog, it's only an issur d'rabbanan. And if you hold that non-Jews are not included in issur d'rabbanan, so right away you have a heter. Plus, you have the possibility that maybe the Aruch HaShulchan and Rav Asher Weiss are correct, that we paskin that non-Jews are not included in the prohibition at all, where it's only going to be Amir La'akumen. We have that raya from Hilchos Shabbos that you're allowed to do Amir La'akumen in order to prevent an animal from suffering. Plus, over here, it's not just stam. This is not something that the person is just doing stam for a household pet out of convenience. This is a person in a very difficult predicament where they have, what's going to happen if this girl, this young lady, this 17-year-old at-risk teenager who's been through a lot of challenges in life already is told, you know what, your dog is going to suffer and you're going to watch it suffer because your stepfather says that God says that your dog is supposed to suffer. And this is not going to be good. This is very terrible for this young lady's spiritual health. She needs a lot of encouragement and support, presumably at this time of her life. And therefore, it would seem that the right thing to do would be to, meaning not just the right, a halachically viable thing to do, especially if the animal is going to suffer, is to rely on these kulas. The best thing to do, just to cover all the bases, sell it to a non-Jew and have a non-Jew do the Amira da Amira, right? Have a non-Jew bring it to a non-Jew. That might even work for a male animal. B'shas Adchak, it definitely works for a male animal. Here's B'shas Adchak for a female animal, so l'chora, it would definitely work in this situation. In general, one has to be cognizant, though, that not every shayla is exactly the same. Meaning sometimes people are going to ask a shayla, but it's really just a convenience issue. It's just, we thought it would be cool to have a pet because that's what the American dream is, to have a son, a daughter, a dog, and to have all those stickers on the back of your car that show the perfect American family. That would not warrant taking halachic risks, I don't think, or taking entering into issues of a halachic landmine like this issue. But in cases like this, where it's this person, this fellow, did not ask for this problem, and there's a situation of neshama that's at stake over here, so it's important to know what the kulas are. Sometimes people have an attitude toward halacha. I'm just thinking back to this interview I did yesterday, which hopefully will never air on any platform, because I was very unhappy with it. Where this fellow's whole attitude to halacha, he said, he kept on saying, "What do you think the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying?" I'm like, "I don't know. I really don't know what the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying. I know that he gave us a halachic system, and we're supposed to figure out what the halacha is. But, it's very easy to say, there's a pasuk in the Torah that says you're not allowed to shave your face, and therefore, what do you think the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying if we're looking for a tailor?" I don't know. I think there's a halacha. There's a halachic system that you're supposed to try to draw a halachic conclusion with. What do I think? There's a pasuk in the Torah, you're not allowed to neuter an animal. What do I think the Ribbono Shel Olam would say over here? I think he would say we should follow the halachic system, which includes concepts such as Shas Havchak, such as, you know, such as Derabbanan, Amir Lakum, Amir Da Amira. I mean, all of that is part of the halachic system, and that's why, that's part of the beauty of the halachic system, is that it's, on the one hand, the rigidity, and on the other hand, the flexibility. Meaning, because it's rigid, but the flexibility is built into the system. It's not external to the system. It's not like, oh, you know, we try to be makbid about halacha, except for when it's inconvenient, then we'll be flexible. No, it's not the way it works. Built into the system is the principle of a shas hadchak, is the principle of shas hadchak the Avedami. So there's a principle of Hefsid Meruba. We have these notions built into the actual system. So it's so beautiful in its rigidity and flexibility simultaneously. And that's the way I think that we're supposed to deal with halacha. Now, as I'm going through this topic, I remember that I never emailed the guy back. So hopefully he listens to the shiur, or hopefully I'll remember to email him back that, you know, what I think he should do. Okay, now let's...
Can I ask you a question?